It's two for the price of one again today on Radio Chatter. Sort of. I'll explain that coming up here in a few minutes. But first, it's the WWE's Samoa Joe, as the WWE is in town for the final time performing at the famed Joe Louis Arena. We'll talk about that. The fascination that Detroit's own Rhino has, plus his childhood wrestling hero, and a ton more. And then it's Axl Rose. Well, it's from 2002, but it's still Axl Rose.
T minus 10, 9, 8. 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
As I say each week, and I do mean it, thank you guys so much for checking out Radio Chatter. This is really something fun. I really love doing. Look forward to it every single week. I'm always trying to dig out some really cool guests for you guys, and I've got some really cool ones coming up here this week and in the weeks to come. Just keep it locked right here and subscribe and the whole thing. And, of course, check me out on Twitter as well, at MeltdownWRIF. You can hit me up on the Facebook, MeltdownWRIF, Instagram, the whole thing. I appreciate you guys and your feedback as well. Hey, coming up on the second part of Radio Chatter today, it's Axl Rose, and I'll explain to you why I'm doing that coming up here in just a little bit. But let's just say this interview was really cool to listen to after over a decade of not hearing it. I put it in my CD player because I had it saved on CD, as I do with a lot of my interviews, and it was just really cool. So I'll tell you about that coming up here in just a bit. In the meantime, as I record this on Monday, March 13th, 2017, the WWE is performing its final time at the famed Joe Louis Arena in Detroit before the new arena opens up next year. And there's been some historic moments at the Joe with the WWE. And Samoa Joe from the WWE is nice enough to swing by the station and talk about that and a ton more. So enjoy this, and thank you guys so much for checking out Radio Chatter. Samoa Joe in the studio here with us. How you doing, man?
Excellent, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Are you used to this kind of weather?
Not at all. I am from Samoa, so I mean, it's kind of in the name there. So, yeah, I'm used to balmier and warmer temperatures, but you know, hey,
yeah,
having a little fun here today, so yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, real fast, happy early birthday. Mine was on Friday, so us Pisces have to stick together.
Absolutely, we got to go with the flow, man. That's how it works.
Yeah. I mean, a birthday on St. Patrick's Day. How does that go for you every year?
Usually, everybody's smashed. And then they kind of remember it's my birthday like a little bit later in the day, and then you know, it's kind of a party already in the making, so it works out pretty well.
I always have to go broadcast at these bars, and I'm always working between 3 and 7, so I'm always like the sober guy. And I remember one time Kid Rock's from here, right? And I said to him, I said, how come you never show up at the parties afterwards like here in Detroit? He goes, well, because I just got done working, I'm off stage, and everyone's drunk.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like one of those things.
It's like you show up to the disaster after it's already happened,
right?
You
know? So when you just walked in here, we were just talking about music and whatnot. Are you into rock and roll, or what kind of stuff you like to?
No, I'm kind of a universal when it comes to musical taste. I mean, I really love everything. I mean, being on the road as much as I am, you need a lot of music to kind of keep you sane. So, I mean, there's nothing I don't listen to.
Yeah. It was funny because last time the WWE was in town, I had Rhino. You brought Rhino in, right? Yeah,
oh,
I had Rhino in here, and Rhino's a friend of mine from way back.
Yeah. He's a local boy, too.
Yeah, I've known Rhino for 15 years, and we always talk about this because my daughter was born right after I met him. And so anyways, I texted him yesterday, and I don't know, he must be on the road or somewhere. I said, give me something to talk about with Samoa Joe today. And he didn't text me back yet. I'll get a text from like Wednesday
something. Yeah.
But tell us something about Rhino.
So Rhino is a person who he's very passionate about his boat, mainly because if he starts talking about his boat, you're going to hear about it for the next hour as he begins to tell you about all the intricacies of how much he loves his boat. So it's one thing. If anybody ever hears Ryan said, you know, the other day I got some work done on my boat, and you'll see everybody kind of evacuate out of the room because then I have to hear him go on and on about it.
I was on his boat in the 2002.
Yeah, there you go. So you know.
Yeah, 2002 Stanley Cup parade. We were behind the stage on the river.
Yeah, I call him the skipper. I mean, he really loves that boat.
So you've been on the road with him for a lot of years.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I've known Rhino for a while, a little bit, about a decade now, man. He's, an awesome wrestler, a great guy, and you know, I know he ran for office not too long ago. I mean, he really loves this area, and he's a Detroit boy. I mean, the best part about it is Rhino's infamous for wearing like jackets and no shirt underneath, and it's always usually a Detroit Tigers jacket or something like that.
That's funny. I never saw that move before.
Yeah.
Yeah, one night we were, he texted me or called me. I think this was back in the day when you had to call people. And he says, hey, we're in town and we're going to Denny's, you know, down in this one area. So why don't you come down? I'm like, all right. So I get down there and Lance Storm was there and Edge and Christian and whatever. And here comes Jericho walking in, shirt wide open, like wide he walked open. On stage.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, you're walking into a public restaurant here.
No, that's Chris. he's flamboyant to say the least.
So how's things going with you? Is this is where you want to be, man?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, WWE's kind of been one of the few companies that I haven't worked for, and I'm newly joined, and I'm having a blast, and it's been a good time, man. You know, getting to go out there and do what I do.
Now, when you now correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know your history exactly, but you joined up with NXT a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, NXT. NXT is kind of the hot third brand in WWE. I joined up there, helped it along on its way, and then Triple H needed some people to be handled, so he called me up, and here I am on Raw.
Yeah, well, you had the championship for a long time there,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did, yeah. First two-time NXT champion, and I've had accolades before that, but definitely helping NXT along and kind of bring it to the forefront was very, very fun.
Yeah, well, I think holding the championship belt for a long time is nothing new to you.
No, not at all.
So I think TNA, you had it for a long time, too.
Oh, yeah, I've held belts there. I've been the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion. I mean, if there's gold to be won, I will come and get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this NXT thing is pretty cool. Like, I'm not one of these guys that goes on, like, you know, the buzz boards and whatnot. And I'm sure, you know, the internet, it's like all, you know, everyone goes crazy about it, right? Yeah. But I hear enough about it, and people really rave about this NXT.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of this, like I said, it's this exciting third brand where you get this mix of, like, you know, young up-and-coming talent with guys who've been established in the industry have come from all different places. I mean, from Japan to Sudan, Singapore to Baltimore. I mean, we bring in some of the most diverse talent in the world, and it's a melting pot NXT. And from there, it feeds into Raw and SmackDown.
Now, since you're one of the, for lack of a better term, one of the elder statesmen of something like an NXT, do you take guys under your wings, kind of show them around a little bit?
Yeah, but I usually just have them really have really bad habits and taking places to party, so I'm not the best mentor in the world.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm the guy that say, you know, you don't hang out with Joe after the show.
Where'd you learn that from?
Not Rhino, I'll tell you that. No, you pick up tips here and there.
Yeah. I mean, you've probably watched WWE for your whole life, and you've just kind of finally made it up there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, when you talk about the world of professional wrestling, the world of sports entertainment, WWE is definitely the forefront. I think it's what everybody kind of grew up on. I mean, obviously, they were the first nationwide promotion. To be in this industry and then to find myself here is it's a big treat.
Yeah. Now, it's not your wrestling. Are you? You're actually in the show tonight, right?
Yes, I will be.
And you're going to be at Joe Louis Arena, the hallowed halls of Joe Louis Arena.
The final Raw.
Yeah, the final Raw. That's unbelievable. I took my daughter to the SmackDown. It's funny because my daughter's not a fan, and my son, he didn't want to watch it. I'm like, come on, just go. And so my daughter says, this will be great for my story. That's all the kids care about nowadays, their story. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, take in the experience. You'll have fun. And it was a great show. It was awesome. They did the dark matches afterwards from 10 to 11 o'clock after a SmackDown and whatnot. But, I've actually sat in my house and showed my son, like, clips from Joe Louis Arena. Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, I think he ran
the beer truck into
the beer truck. Yeah. I think the Zamboni.
Ran the ring. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, a lot of iconic moments, you know. When you go back to WCW, I mean, the first time the Big Show ever showed up on TV screens was at Joe Louis Arena. That was in WCW. So, I mean, there's always been kind of these iconic moments kind of tied to Joe Louis. And tonight we're hoping to send it off with a bang.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you, the things you remember from your youth growing up watching wrestling?
Pontiac Silverdome. I almost always do it in the Iron Sheik voice. obviously that was kind of like the biggest spectacle of a show ever, especially, you know, growing up in my era. And, it's this mixture of these kind of different like characters and iconic things you see throughout your life, and a lot of that's tied to WWE and the superstars they've had there in the past.
Yeah, I remember I was showing my son one of the things that, you know, Stone Cold. I was a big fan of Stone Cold and The Rock in the late 90s and stuff like that. And you must have been growing up in that time too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's right when I was kind of the buzz was on. I mean, Stone Cold, and it was the hottest show on cable television, and Absolutely. I think that whole era was, was something that ignited everybody, and I think everybody was watching.
Yeah. Now, you've probably heard this question a billion times, but what were your idols?
I really liked Arn Anderson growing up.
Okay.
I mean, he was a guy who, the enforcer. I mean, kind of this amazingly skilled technical wrestler that, even though he had the skill to kind of take you apart limb by limb, still went in there and sought just to beat you up. I mean, I think there's something kind of poetic about that.
And have you had a chance to meet him?
Absolutely. Yeah. I work with Arn every week now. So
yeah, do you?
Very, very cool.
What about he meets somebody like Hogan for the first time or something like that?
Yeah, Hogan's he's a trip, man. He's a real chill guy, and you can tell he's seen some stuff, man. He's got that that kind of he's been to the party type of vibe to him. So he's a real cool dude.
What are some of the matches in your career that you just think stick out?
Obviously, anything that I've done with AJ Styles, another star on the SmackDown brand, definitely stick out. Several matches in other companies. Kurt Angle, me and Kurt Angle had a pretty long kind of a feud, and we're actually inducting him into the Hall of Fame this year at WrestleMania. So, those definitely stick out in my mind.
That's cool. Well, listen, Joe, thanks for coming in today. Oh, by the way, real fast, give us some of the rundown as to who's going to be wrestling tonight.
Well, tonight, Brock Lesnar will be in the house. We have a double main event. We have Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and myself and Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn.
You've made the list, apparently?
Oh, I've made the list several times.
Samoa Joe, always good to see you in the WWE in town sign at Joe Louis Arena, and thanks so much for your time, and I can hardly wait to get on Rhino's boat.
Oh, yes.
Samoa Joe, right here on Radio Chatter. As I record this on Monday, March 13th, the WWE will perform for its final time at the historic Joe Louis Arena tonight. And real fast props to the WWE. I've said this before on other podcasts, but when they bring wrestlers by, these guys are so nice. And they take pictures, they do great interviews, and anything you ask them, they'll do it. And Samoa Joe was the same way. Really good guy. And thank you guys so much for stopping down and hanging out with us here for a few minutes. And like I said, tonight, the final time, I'll be watching. My ears and eyes will be on the TV tonight checking out WWE Raw. So many great moments at Joe Louis Arena with that program. Anyways, let's switch gears just a little bit to an interview I did on November 20th of 2002. You might be saying to yourself, well, Meltdown, why are you replaying this 2002 interview? Well, for a few reasons. First of all, over the weekend, I was listening to this podcast called Appetite for Distortion that this guy Brando does from Long Island, who, by the way, is also blocked by Gene Simmons on Twitter. I'm not sure if Gene Simmons just goes around blocking radio guys or what. I don't know why he blocked me. I think Brando's told me he doesn't know why he blocked him either. Regardless, he's got this podcast, which revolves pretty much around Guns N' Roses, himself and this guy Scotto, okay? And it's, every once in a while they're bringing some sort of hair band element to it or, whatever. So over the weekend, they had Mitch LaFon. He's like a Canadian music journalist. And he apparently interviewed Steven Adler. Now, I've had a chance to talk to Steven Adler before in the past as well. And Steven Adler is one of these guys. He's a really nice guy. But he's like this guy that like wants to go to the party so bad and the other guys don't want him at the party. That's just kind of the impression I get. I guess his mom's got this book coming out now. So anyways, I'm listening to this interview and listening to those guys talk to this Mitch LaFon. And I'm thinking to myself, I got this great interview I did with Axl Rose from 2002. And the thing about that was that at the time, all you could do was, air the interview. And once it aired, unless you re-aired it, that was the only time you really had a chance to hear it. So I'm thinking now with podcasting, the internet, and the whole thing, I'm going to replay the interview in its entirety. This interview is uncut. Sometimes I'll do some vintage radio chatter, and it'll be like, I'll just chop up different things. But I thought, I think it'd be really cool for you guys to hear this whole thing in its entirety. So before the interview, they sent me this whole long list of things that I couldn't talk about. I think there was 5 things on the list. Let me see if I can remember them. Don't talk about Chinese democracy, which hadn't come out yet. Don't talk about the riots or something during the, the Metallica Guns N' Roses tour. Don't ask him why he comes on stage late. What else was there? Oh, don't bring up any other band members. There's a few things that I couldn't talk about. Axl himself brought up a few of these things. And if you listen to the interview, Axel's a great interview. He talked about whatever I wanted to talk about. Well, I guess the record company just had a conniption. And Axl didn't do interviews then for like years after. I don't know. Listen to the interview for yourself. It sounds like he's enjoying it. He actually offers up information. It sounded great. This was a couple months after the MTV Video Awards show, which took place on August 29, 2002, when out of nowhere, Axl Rose and his band of Guns N' Roses showed up at this award show and played on stage to a surprise, shocked crowd. So, in the meantime, like I said, this happened on November 20th of 2002, and just to let it live on the internet, here it is in its entirety. It's Axl Rose on Radio Chatter.
Hello?
Hey, Axl.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, man?
What's going on?
Nice to talk to you, bro.
What's happening?
Welcome back to the world of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Seems like you've been gone for a long time.
Yeah, definitely.
It was definitely a shocker to see you there on the MTV Video Music Awards. How long did it take to get that whole thing rolling?
The MTV?
Yeah.
Well, they were in negotiations about trying to figure out how long we could do something and where it would be at in the show for actually somewhere near the beginning of that little mini tour we did. And then we didn't have what we were doing on stage worked out until the day of the show.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So that whole Guns N' Roses medley, you guys, is that what you didn't have worked out, or just the whole?
Yeah, that thing. It's like because it wasn't for sure that we were playing until the day before the show.
Uh-huh. Now tell me about the reaction from people. They must have been blown away there, huh?
People were pretty shocked. Yeah, definitely.
Man, so you must have been pretty fired up. How'd you feel going back out there on stage, live TV, and all that stuff? You must have just been a nervous wreck all that day, huh?
Well, no, I wasn't that, but everything tends to go wrong in my world. Like even going to sound check, the police wouldn't let me down the street to go to the building.
Is that right?
And then the day of the show, they didn't let us go down the street and had to get out of the car, run past the police. They're telling me I have to stop, and I'm like, I gotta sing. And the best part was, as I'm running down the street, I had to run past all the people lined up to get in the building.
Right.
And they're going, hey, there goes Kid Rock! I thought that was pretty
funny. Now, why wouldn't the police let you out? I'm kind of lost on that.
Just they're lost.
Huh.
Just confusion, loss, don't knowing what's going on, you know, people not having people's names on the list, not knowing what passes to check, all that kind of crap. So just usual stuff going wrong for no reason.
So what you're telling me is Axl Rose had to sneak into the MTV Video Music Awards.
Yeah, basically. I had like police chasing me down the street, and then our security and MTV had to like clear it with them. But yeah, it was very interesting.
I guess the big question is, where have you been? Where has Axl Rose been for the last 10 years? What have you been doing? Just mellowing out, getting stuff ready to go, or I mean?
No, it's just basically I just don't go looking to, you know, promote myself on every little thing until there's some kind of product and we've been, you know, there's something to put out that I think's worth it, and we've been working on this band and trying to get things right for a long time, and if I go to like do interviews or anything like that, it just gets turned around by so many people around the world who don't have anything better to do than to try to shoot anything down. And that was just too draining to deal with everybody else. It's interesting. In L.A., there's places that I go to all the time, but since I did the MTV thing, I go to the same place, and suddenly there's paparazzi, and it's like, Axl's out, and it's like, well, I was here last weekend, and you didn't care.
Right.
You know? Uh-huh. I just wasn't going. Like, I used to live behind Tower Records on Sunset, and I lived right behind Spago, and if you wanted to, you could go down and stand there and all the paparazzi would take your pictures and stuff, you know. It's just dependent on if you wanted to. I mean, I never did that, but you drove by it every day. I mean, there's other people there that would purposely go there to have their photos taken.
Yeah.
It's not my world.
You tried to stay out of it. I was searching some websites, and I saw, actually, I listened to an interview you did with some DJ in, like, Chile, like, last year or something like that. You've played a couple gigs here and there, but, I mean, you've played some huge ones down in South America, if I'm not mistaken. Then some small ones here in the States and Vegas, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you know, it's taken, you know, this band did not come together by, you know, a bunch of guys meeting each other in a bar or down on the, in the corner or in their old neighborhood or anything like that. So it's taken a, you know, a long time to pull these guys together and then have them develop a chemistry with themselves. When we first did our first show in Vegas, you know, Robin and Buckethead didn't know each other at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got two lead guitar players trying to kill each other.
Is that right?
You know, with their abilities. It's like when I tried to bring Zach and Slash together, that didn't go too well.
Oh, really? You tried to bring Zach and Slash together once?
Yeah, that was, it was fun to watch.
Really?
It was like, you know, watching, you know, a giant snake with a Tyrannosaurus Rex and see what, you know, so it was pretty exciting. I mean, we had a good time. I don't know if they did.
When was this?
That was about 95.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, I guess if I should ask this, but do they ever talk at all now, or you don't know?
Oh, man, I think they're like, they can be cordial to each other, that whole kind of thing, but when they were actually playing it, you know, it gets that kind of alpha male thing going. who's the real lead guitar player?
I think I vaguely remember this now. Back in 95, you're talking 7 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, no question about it. Axl Rose on the phone with us here. He's playing a riff show tomorrow at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Another question I have for you. And think about this one. Do you still think Guns N' Roses is still relevant after a long layoff? Because, I mean, obviously the shows are going, you're selling tickets for the shows. People are really jonesing for Guns N' Roses still, and you haven't done anything in, like, at least 7 or 8 years, huh?
Yeah, I think that the relevancy really, I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to really depend on, well, you know, for a bit of the nostalgia thing,
right.
You have the songs that we're playing a lot of the old material. For, you know, new excitement, you know, you have the performance of these particular players. But at the end of the day, it's also really going to stand on the new songs when we put out a new record.
Uh-huh.
And if that's considered relevant or not, and if that's considered, you know, not selling out,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to be relevant. So it'll really all hinge on that, and we feel really confident about the music that we're working on, and I think that when it does manage to find its way into the light, the timing will be perfect. It's like this MTV thing and the touring right now, that's all working really well.
I guess the reason I ask you that is because I see younger people, early 20s, late teens, I mean, fired up to see Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, they are, and you know, and also the new performers. I mean, the band and the show is it's a really exciting thing. It's like I like, you know, the sound checks and the rehearsals for the shows, watching this thing, because watching these guys is amazing. I mean, Guns N' Roses, I was in that band because it was my favorite band. You know?
Right.
Watching all the players in that band, and watching this band is just exciting or more for me. You know, and plus then having a what I feel is a better personal relationship with the individuals in the band makes it more exciting for me.
Now you
and
said,
people have commented on noticing that on watching the shows a lot.
Now you said just a couple minutes ago when the new record comes out. I mean, if you're a little skeptical about that.
No, I'm not skeptical about like if. I'm just saying, you know, the when thing is when we decide that it's completed. You know, there's a lot of things that we come up with new ideas or working on it as we go, and it is a really, really slow process because we're kind of left more to ourselves in trying to figure it out, where, you know, what I've seen in this industry is that if a record company, I don't know, there seems to be a lot more support for getting things done with newer bands. And it's got a lot to do with contracts being, you know, they don't have to spend as much money on the band, and they're trying to get it out there, and then the next thing you know, they've sold a couple albums, and then they don't care about that band anymore, and they move on, and that band falls apart. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of support for bands that have been around.
Mm-hmm.
That's my experience, and so in putting this thing together, you know, in a lot of ways, I've had to do way more jobs in it than I'm supposed to. I've had to be manager, A&R man, producer, soul, lyric writer, and a lot of things of where Guns N' Roses, to me, what I worked really hard at was making it a collaborative effort.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of people involved. This is a collaborative effort with the players, but the players, you know, aren't exactly sure what it should be to try to win over the world Guns N' Roses style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of my responsibility. Anyway, but it's all working.
Well, so, there you go. I guess if it works for you, you might as well.
It took a long time, you know, but now it's working, and I think we'll have the right record. And when we do drop the record, the plan is to drop the record, have a bunch of extra tracks, about a year or so down the road, drop another record, and drop a third record. This is a three-stage thing, and we'll be touring for a real long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So the time off didn't affect you. Didn't like it too much. You want to keep more time off, huh?
No, we've been collecting lots of songs.
Right.
So there won't be lots of time off. We'll just keep touring.
Axl Rose on the phone with us. A couple more quick things I want to touch on here. Since we last heard of Guns N' Roses, there's been just, I mean, a new president, reality TV, Kid Rock, Eminem, Linkin Park. I mean, things have changed so much, huh? Has any of this stuff influenced you at all?
Well, yeah, basically life, yes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, everything that's going on, you know, you think about and there's a lot of different influences in music, and so we tried to move the music forward. I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions because I wasn't going to get in a one-on-one war with the old guys, because I felt that all that would do was going to promote their albums and bring attention to that, and I didn't want to help that at all. The reality was that I was basically going to do most of Slash's songs in particular and work on those with him, but basically anytime we got anything that would be halfway near something that was going to be either successful because it completely kicked ass or it was just strong in any way, then it was backed away from. And I believe that just has a lot to do with trying to keep the material down, you know, for his own personal reasons, you know, keep his own material down.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
You know, there's a lot of stress. Well, it's basically like why, you know, Izzy and these guys, I mean, none of them really wanted to do the big shows.
Is that right? What kind of shows do they want to do?
Well, from day one, Izzy always wanted to be about the size of the Ramones and do like 2,000 seaters.
Right.
Okay, so there was always a little battle there. And then the other guys had to be on so many substances to really be able to deal with that crowd. I mean, you know, to his credit, I mean, Slash could play, you know, great guitar on a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a reason that you would be, you know, that whacked out to get on stage.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, you know, there's a lot of stress to deal with.
Axl Rose on the phone with us from Guns N' Roses. Man, it's been a long time since we've seen GNR. Tell me one of your fondest moments from the Metallica Guns N' Roses tour, because that was probably one of the biggest tours of the 1990s. It was one of the fondest things you remember.
I was definitely very excited about how that went. I mean, it's as far as how it went for us, and we got to see a lot of people backstage. We threw some really huge parties that were a lot of fun.
I was at one time, and you walked right by me and went right into a hot tub with all these chicks. So that ain't too bad, huh?
No, that's not too bad.
But I remember some of the parties. You guys had a different theme in every city, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I heard in Indianapolis you had like cars, and then the one I was at like, you know, go-go dancers or psychedelic or something like that.
Yeah, we had a casino with ice sculptures somewhere.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what are your plans for this year? You're doing the tour. Do you got a New Year's Eve date yet or what?
Yeah, I think we're doing San Jose, San Francisco, basically.
Okay, because I had heard something about the Las Vegas thing again, but I guess
we are doing Mandalay Bay right before then.
Oh, okay.
You know, but basically the larger venues in Vegas wanted to stay dark on New Year's because they want people in their gaming.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we wanted to play a larger place in Vegas, so that's why we ended up doing San Francisco.
I guess this is kind of a generic question, but how's the tour so far?
It's going great. It's going great. I mean, it got started off exceptionally weird, but I guess GNR style. And then from that point on, we've been really happy. You know, all the guys are happy. There's you can sense that the people are getting, you know, in the band are getting excited about, you know, what they see that we can turn this thing into, because we know what the material is we're working on. And right now you have people just kind of like stunned and watching.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be excited when there's, you know, newer songs out there. So then you've got some of that frenzy happening.
Are you Doing any new stuff on the tour?
We do about four or five songs that we've done at the various shows, but we're still holding our big guns back.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, Axel, it's great to talk to you. Somebody here at the station wanted to ask me if you were dating anyone. I don't know. These girls here at the station, you know what I'm saying?
No one in particular, no.
No one, not yet? All right.
No significant others here.
Hey, well, listen, Axel, thanks for taking the time out. Tomorrow at the Palace of Auburn Hills, stay out of trouble, okay?
Yeah, man, thanks a lot.
Can you do that for us?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Axel, thanks. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, man, have a good one.
And there you have it. Axl Rose from 2002 in the fall. And why not, right? It's Radio Chatter. I can put whatever I want on there. And I got to thank Brando and Scotto from Appetite for Distortion for kind of jarring my memory on that. I've had that interview for a long time, and it's not like I never forgotten about it. It is one of my favorites just because Axl Rose is, you know, such a high-profile person. But I hadn't listened to it in years, and I kind of forgot that he said, you know, Chinese Democracy, which, full admittance, by the way, I love that record. It's so cool. And I forgot he said that was going to be a trilogy. I forgot about the thing with Zach and Slash, and I thought the interview was cool, man. And like I said before the interview, the record company, not so much. And then they listened to it over again, then they started laying off on it. But Axl didn't do very many interviews after that. And since then, really, in the past several years, he hasn't really done many. That's another reason why I decided to put this up on the Radio Chatter podcast. So hope you guys dug that. Thank you guys so much for checking it out. As always, hit me up on the interweb at MeltdownWRIF. Share this with your friends and whatnot. And we'll do it all over again real soon. I've got some really cool bands coming up in the next few weeks. I'm not going to jinx anything, but maybe before the end of the year, a new Axl Rose interview. It's not like I haven't been working on it. Thank you guys so much for listening to Radio Chatter.